time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself. A little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. Let me start off with today's first article. I talked about this actually a number of years ago, because this same thing was going on in South Korea, was picking up this same what was happening in China. And now Nigeria has been investigating some of the Chinese drugs, and they've been finding out that they're made from fetal remains. And Nigeria is sounding the alarm on a smuggling operation involving Chinese medicine made from dead babies, fetuses. And what happens, government officials have launched an investigation to track down individuals behind the alleged disturbing trade in baby parts. And the National Intelligence Agency is now cautioning the citizens of Nigeria to be wary of medications imported from China, especially in a memo directed to the Nigerian government organizers. And this is something I've mentioned before. The original memo, one of them came out from South Korea because customs services had intercepted a staggering 2,700-plus drugs that were made from human remains and brought into the country by suspected Chinese nationals. And what's been happening, dealers in this unconventional, gruesome medicine say that the drugs are for stamina boosters or life enhancers. And in China, it's believed that you can cure many diseases like cancer and diabetes. And it's believed that the drugs are being smuggled into the country via suitcases and international market. And the technical assistant head of public relations, Fashina, explained that the organization is searching the products. And those are the products that come in these little black balls when you look at Chinese medicine. And they're being sold now for stamina or sexual enhancement or life enhancement or anti-aging. And what they are is it confirmed that the drugs are made from powdered flesh of dead fetuses, and it's being marketed now worldwide. The magazine Vanguard reports the capsules are made in northeastern China from babies who were born dead, and the bodies were chopped into small pieces and dried on microwaves and then turned into a powder. I know this sounds very gruesome, and but this is something you got to be wary of, because if you're taking Chinese herbs, especially the ones that come in where the bottles have a cork on it, and when you open it, they're little black balls. I'm very careful. We do not sell in our store anything coming directly from China like that. Even Nature Sunshine, the herb company that we recommend, when they have a whole line of Chinese herbs, and but what happens is that those herbs have to come in their raw form into the United States, not even powdered. They have to come in the raw form. Then they're tested here in the United States, and then they are formulated here in the United States. So the Chinese herbs that we carry which are traditional for traditional formulas, are definitely tested, and we know. But recently, they have been testing not Nature Sunshine, but again in Nigeria and South Korea, they've been testing, and I imagine now that since this has just come out, that other countries are going to start testing the Chinese meds that are in their country, and they're going to find the same kind of things, but that the herbal supplements that are for stamina, sexual enhancement, testosterone, or anything, that they are actually full of ground-up fetal parts. So I had no idea that this is not the first time China's been in hot water over the production of drugs made from dead babies or fetuses. This has happened in 2010, 2012, again, every so many years, 2014, and they're being constantly found out. And, of course, then China says, we'll take care of it. We don't know how this happened. And they go in, and again, what happens is those factories just move to another location. So it's here it is, just to finish it out. It says, some segments of the Chinese population purportedly believe that human placenta tissue is medicinal and that consuming it will improve blood supply and circulation. Now it also appears that as though within this segment, that belief has been perverted to also include dead baby parts, the dead flesh as well, organs such as the adrenal glands and the kidneys or the liver and the hearts, and all of that are powdered and then put into capsules. And unless the inspectors keep a close eye on all incoming and outgoing luggages and packages, the practice will more likely continue. So the market for dead babies is real, and it's abhorrent. And I bring this to your information because I know a lot of people are taking Chinese herbs. And when you go to a Chinese herbalist, again, if they're giving you herbs that come directly from China that have been formulated in China, I would suggest not taking them. I know that Nature's Way and Nature's Sunshine and a lot of the companies are checking now what comes directly from China has to be brought in the raw form here. So that's number one, and that was really quite an eye-opener. I think there's a couple comments. It's very similar. In the United States, there is a business on research with fetal cells. And I know Planned Parenthood does make some income. I don't think it's the income that everybody talks about because the prices that they get. But they do collect a lot of the aborted fetuses and sell those to in the United States, there are medical companies that have a waiver, I guess it is, from the government to do research on these fetal cells. So, again, how you relate to that and how it affects you emotionally to know that this is going on, especially if you're anti-abortion, and then you find out that the material that's being collected is actually a profit is being made on it. You know, that transcends political. It transcends the whole idea politically of getting an abortion. And again, emotionally, we can all be against the idea of an abortion. We would love to see pregnancies come to fruition. If the mother doesn't want the child or can't have the child, put it up for adoption. But that's not often the case. And in the United States, politics has to come through. And what a lot of people don't understand is that, especially when it comes to abortion, you can't talk about the emotionalism, because there's going to be groups that believe that it's murder, and there's nothing you can do to change their opinion. That they say a life starts at conception, and that if you kill the cell, that it's murder. Then there's groups that say, no, it isn't. And then you have a he said, she said, yes, it is, no, it isn't, yes, it is, no, it isn't. In the United States, law is different. What you have to discuss is who has jurisdiction to make the law. So do you want the federal government making laws on what you can do to your bodies, what you can put into your body or not put into your body? Or do you want the state government to make those laws, or the county government to make the laws, or do you get to decide between you and your doctor what you do? So when that whole very difficult emotional subject comes up, that's the way that it needs to be discussed, on who is going to have jurisdiction. Because the emotional part, there is no finality to that. You can't really get to whether emotionally who's going to be able to choose one way or the other. But you can do it politically, where who has jurisdiction. Now, I personally don't want governments having jurisdiction to tell me what I can and cannot do to my body. So I would always vote to make that an individual choice between a woman and the doctor. So again, even though emotionally it could be very painful, politically in this country, the Constitution does give rights to the individual. So anyway, the next article is the vaccine shot killed a famed cancer doctor in mere minutes. And Dr. Martin Gore, a wildly celebrated cancer doctor credited with saving thousands of lives, died from total organ failure just minutes after receiving a vaccine shot. Dr. Gore was a professor of cancer medicine at the Institute of Cancer Research based in London, and he died suddenly after a routine inoculation for yellow fever. Now, yellow fever is something that not everybody gets a vaccine for. That's only a vaccine for people that travel and travel into areas that can be dangerous for yellow fever. So his death, though, highlights the increased risks associated with vaccines for the growing number of older travelers visiting exotic destinations. So that's something that people have to be aware of. If you're going to travel to somewhere, oftentimes these vaccines are mandated. And here's a gentleman that has routinely traveled all over the country or all over the world and receiving vaccines. And he's probably received vaccines before. But this one was on, again, yellow fever. He received the vaccine, and he died, again, within 15 minutes of receiving the vaccine. So a lot of people don't realize that vaccines can be very toxic, and just the same as chemotherapy and radiation therapy, they can also be very toxic. And there is a false belief that whether it's a vaccine or chemotherapy or radiation, that all of these are told by doctors they're perfectly safe. So again, there is some controversy about some of the vaccines that have been weaponized, and all of the vaccines that have been tested, when we look under the microscope, have mycoplasma bacteria in it. And so that's something that people don't know about. So, again, if you're traveling, be wary of what you have to do and where you are going and whether you have mandated vaccines or not. Again, if you're on a good, healthy program and you're taking the right good nutrients, especially things like Prime Longevity, or you're making sure you take vitamin C, and you're drinking ginger tea, and eating lots of garlic, I think you'll be fine and not have to worry. But again, for those of you that are exposed a lot to disease states, or to a lot of hepatitis, or things where there's a lot of pollution and feces, you know, this is what can cause the immune system to be so broken down. So again, article number two about a famed cancer doctor that was killed because of a vaccine, and he's probably was quite aware of all of the vaccines.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Hi, Sylvia. Good morning.
I have a question about chemotherapy.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
If a person is going to be taking chemo, what supplements are useful to survive it and to maybe get over the effects?
That's a very good question. For that, again, it depends upon the type of cancer that they have, what kind of program for cancer, and not just a couple of vitamins. We change their diet. So I always suggest that anybody that's getting chemotherapy get a cancer program. And the cancer program involves, it's very comprehensive, and of course, diet nutrition is primary. And one of the diet is what's called a modified ketogenic vegan kind of a diet. We avoid the amino acid methionine. So that's critical in the foods low in methionine, because cancer cells love methionine, and so you can help starve them. But the supplements that you can take, well, the main supplement that I always recommend for anybody with cancer is I always start off with Prime Longevity. Prime Longevity is something that I created, and it has all of the nutrients in it that you cannot eat. And they're at high, high doses that have to, they're scientific doses. So you can price them out. And let me tell you, if you, as an example, just a number of them, it has 120 milligrams of coenzyme Q10. Price out what it costs just to take CQ10 at 120 milligrams per day. The next one is resveratrol, which is what you get in grape seeds and the grape skins, and very, very high antioxidant capacity as resveratrol. We get it from giant knotweed. And that's price out 120 milligrams of just that nutrient. And then the same thing, price out lipoic acid, alpha lipoic acid, and price out 120 milligrams of that. Then we have 300 milligrams of pomegranate extract, which is very high in ellagic acid. And ellagic acid has been shown in study after study to be very, very comprehensive against all forms of cancer in building the immune system. Then we have things like acetyl L-carnitine and L-carnitine, both forms. We have vitamin D and all of the B complex. We have chromium and vanadium at high doses to lower blood sugars. Things like ginger tea, that would be something anybody on chemotherapy would want to drink often, or even take in capsules. Another one is spirulina. Spirulina can really build the immune system and build the system just in general. It's a great herb that it's actually an algae that athletes take, and anything that really helps with athletic performance can help also in building the system up so that you can handle things like chemotherapy. Now, again, a lot of times we attempt as much as possible to avoid chemotherapy and avoid radiation. Instead of radiation, we use far infrared saunas, and we induce a fever that way, hyperthermia, that whole idea of increasing temperature. Now, in regular medicine, they use what is called radiation therapy, and it's to increase the heat. It is one of the things that you can use that really enhance the immune system. You go to places like Scandinavia, and they use saunas, oh my gosh, for 1,000 years. And their saunas are quite hot. And you can go in, as an example, anybody on chemotherapy, go up and look up Dr. Otto Warburg in the 30s and 40s. He's the only doctor in history to win 2 Nobel Prizes for cancer. Both of them were on, both Nobel Prizes were on cancer. And actually, over the years, he was nominated for 46 different Nobel Prizes for his research, and he won 2 of them, unopposed, and that's very rare. And what he found is that cancer cells do not use oxygen in their respiration. They ferment sugar to get their ATP in their respiration. So what we now know is cancer cells feed on sugar. Then the second thing he found out is that oxygen, because oxygen is no longer used for respiration, that when you can repair the respiration from oxygen in the cell, either the cell will revert back to a healthy cell if it's not been a cancerous cell for very long, or the cancer cells will die. I think that will help anybody on chemotherapy. Make sure you're taking Prime Longevity, and they can go to primelongevity.com and order the product, and you can see the ingredient list. Just scroll down on that front page. There's a nice little video that we put together that talks about Prime Longevity. Then when you scroll down, there's an article on the 8 causes of disease. And then scroll down just below that is the entire ingredient list. And you can see the whole list. I'm very proud of it. I put it on because no other company is going to do it for that price. So I put, instead of just proprietary formula, I actually put the entire ingredient list on there, because I know from when I did the manufacturing, I found out what the price points are for companies to put everything onto market. And our price points on Prime Longevity are very low compared to any other product on the market. So again, I'm not concerned whether another company will take that formula and make it cheaper. So, Sylvie, I think that's going to answer that pretty well, comprehensive, what to take if you're on chemotherapy. People can look that up. Go to primelongevity.com. You can also come by the store, Health Naturally, and that's at 7040 North Mesa.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
The next article that I want to talk about is that the CDC has a grave conflict of interest because they own the patents on 56 different vaccines. And 2 recent events have forced a glaring spotlight on the $30 billion a year vaccine industry. First, President Donald Trump announced a plan to establish a commission chaired by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to investigate the vaccine safety and the scientific integrity of vaccines. The second again featuring Robert F. Kennedy, and also the actor Robert De Niro, who, by the way, is not a lover of Trump at all, announced that they both announced that there was a $100,000 reward to any scientist or group or anyone else who could conclusively prove the safety of mercury in the form of Thermosil in vaccines. And both events have unleashed a storm of fury from the mainstream media, because many of whom libel both Robert De Niro and Robert F. Kennedy as vaccine skeptics or anti-vaccine or anti-science, despite the men's repeated objections and insistence they are not anti-vaccine or anti-science. The very specific concern is the volume of vaccines being added to the CDC's childhood immunization schedule. And the presence of mercury in many of these vaccines are still there. Some of them have been taken out of children's vaccines, but in the flu and all many, many other vaccines, you still have the Thermosil. And if you really want to keep abreast of the latest information on mercury in vaccines, there is a website called thermosil.news. So that's thermerosal.news. And that's an entire website devoted to studies and news on Thermosil or the mercury-based. Now, the CDC determines the immunization schedule for all children. And failure to comply with it means that children can be refused admittance to public schools. And that schedule certainly merits closer scrutiny. The agency has doubled the number of required vaccines since the mid-1980s, with nearly 40 doses of vaccines now required before the age of 2 years old. Now, coincidentally, or so the CDC would have you believe, autism have increased tenfold since the 1980s. Asthma and severe allergies have doubled in the same time. Allergies to peanuts have increased dramatically, so that people now are life-threatened by peanuts. And again, that's because many vaccines have peanut oil as part of the vaccine. So when you're injecting that directly into the bloodstream, the body is making antibodies against that. And that's why some of these kids now are, their life is threatened from the exposure of peanuts. So while the media has busily been defending the vaccine industry, labeling all who question it as anti-science and a risk to public health, they have managed to avoid broadcasting a glaring conflict of interest that should have made headlines worldwide. And that is that the CDC's own cozy relationship with and direct involvement in the vaccine industry. And again, if you want more information on that, there is a website called vaccines.news, vaccines.news. And that's all kinds of the latest research on vaccines and the news industry. So the CDC proudly claims the following about its own immunization safety office. And it says, sound immunization policies affecting children and adults in the U.S. depend on continuous monitoring of the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. And the CDC uses many strategies to assess vaccine safety, to identify health problems possibly related to vaccines, and to conduct studies that help determine whether a health problem is caused by a specific vaccine. Now, were any of this true, it would mean that the CDC would have to be 100% divorced from the vaccine industry, which it is policing and doing the investigations. The problem is the media has consistently derided Robert F. Kennedy for his claim that the CDC holds patents on this allegation. Ginger Taylor of the Green Med Info recently talked to Mark Blacksell, an intellectual property legal expert, to determine just exactly how many such patents the CDC does in fact own. And to everybody's shock, Braxel found not 20, but 57 different patents granted to the CDC, since one of the patents did not seem to be directly applicable to vaccines. The official number was reduced to 56 and included patents on vaccines for flu, for rotavirus, for hepatitis A, for pneumococcal diseases, for gastroenteritis, for SARS. And interestingly enough, they even had a vaccine to be used for the Zika virus. So this is the ultimate example of appointing the fox to guard the hen house. How could anyone ever trust the CDC to generally assess the safety of vaccines, considering that it costs $500 million to develop one, and they clearly have a vested financial interest in getting those shots to the market? So Barbara Fisher, president of the National Vaccine Information Center, summed it up perfectly when she said the CDC has a very hard time investigating in an unbiased way what is happening to our children because of ideological and financial conflicts of industry.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Thank you all for joining us. Today's a little bit of a controversial show, and sometimes these things have to be brought to the attention. You won't get this information in the news, in the general media. You won't get it at almost any other radio show. It's important to know what's really happening in the health industry and the American Medical Association and the CDC. And again, when you look at it, to me, it's become one giant chemical industry. You know, from the pharmaceutical industry and the vaccine industry, and it just gets to be almost insane how many drugs that the general population is on. You know, how many of our children are on drugs for personality disorders, ADD, ADHD, and when you compare our kids to the rest of the kids in the entire world, and you're going to find something has become dramatically wrong in the United States, because the people, the public in the United States, takes more drugs than any other country in the world. And yet at the same time, we have some of the worst healthcare outcomes in the world. We have the most expensive medicine in the world, but we do not have the best health outcomes. In birthing, as an example, countries even like Venezuela, which is like in total default as a country, has better birthing outcomes than in the United States. So it's really almost insane. Anyway, I want to continue with this whole subject matter. And right now, I want to mention talking about the American medicine, in my opinion, has been turned into one big chemical drug vending machine. And ironically, the same Greek mathematician who invented the syringe 2,000 years ago also created the very first vending machine 2,000 years ago. And some of the oldest vending machines, what they did is they dispensed holy water in Egyptian temples. Well, these days, mostly what you get from a vending machine is sodas and junk foods and junk snacks. And it only makes sense that most vending machines dish out junk science, foodstuffs that cause cancer, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and dementia, because it's more or less toxic food pellets, just like lab rats that don't know any better, and they're provided by big food companies. So nothing in America creates more patience for the life, for life. I mean, they get patience for life than big farmers partner in crime, the junk food industry. And how does big pharma manage the symptoms of the junk food disease? Well, of course, by dispensing, excuse me, more chemical junk science drugs for the pain and anguish you get from consuming nothing but junk foods. And if you want to look at the most dangerous weapon in the world, look no farther than the fork on the American table. People use forks and put food into their faces, into their bodies every day that are just devastating the effects of their own health care. So, again, nothing creates more clients and patients than the junk food industry. And even though you need a prescription from a medical doctor to get your hands and mouth on toxic vended drugs, it doesn't take much more than telling the doctor that they've got a pain or depression or anxiety, and voila, just like inserting a dollar into pushing a big button with a trademark symbol on it, the rat takes its medicine and round it spins on the wheel called chronic sick care in America. And deadly prescription drugs are convenient and easily obtained, just like vended food, junk food and soda. To grab a quick Coke, a bag of chips, and a candy bar, you don't need a brain at all. Just put out a couple of $1 bills or your credit card, insert it into the hole with the blinking arrows, then wait for a bleep and push the button, and featuring the picture of the items your taste buds and weeping belly are craving, and reach down into the bottom slot where the junk bags and cans drop, open the packaging, and shove out that those garbage ingredients into your mouth. And it's just like a quick fix of heroin, opiates. You don't need a brain at all. Just pull out your medical coverage card and insert it into the slit between the office clerk's window and in the waiting room at the doctor's office. Then wait for your name to be called, follow the nurse to the special room, and when the doctor finally calls in, you tell the doctor, "I'm depressed, I'm stressed out, I have a pain." And some doctors even have their own medication vending machines, in-house pharmacies, so you don't have to drive extra miles to a drugstore. And today's medical doctors are not allowed to give nutritional advice at all, and I'll cover that in the next article if I can get to it. The American Medical Association will come and shut them down. And even if there were, they don't know the right things to say because they weren't educated that way in medical colleges. So instead, MDs just sling experimental addictive drugs at symptoms of deeper-rooted sicknesses, along with immune system-destroying antibiotics and carcinogenic vaccines. That's why any medicine that wrecks your own health is easy to come by, just like junk food and vending machines. And the money isn't made off the vending products. The money is made off the sick fools who are repeat offenders and keep going back to the well for more poison. It's called the chronic sick care system in the United States. Prescription drugs are the fourth leading cause of death in America, even when taken as prescribed. So if you ever notice, you're not really allowed to speak your mind to a medical doctor. He or she will ask you a few questions, and as you begin complaining about your problems, they will shut you up, run the stethoscope over your body, check your temperature and blood pressure, and then it's down to business. Let me write you one or two prescriptions. So there's no real intellectual discussion. They don't have time to talk to you about how to change your lifestyle. They don't even consider that lifestyle is what is causing your symptoms. It's just the sick care system that you're being dealt with. So again, it really just gets to be crazy. But these lab-made concoctions, they don't heal anyone. They often do more harm than good. You know, think of the junk in vending machines. They're not really nutritious foods. They're just satisfying your urges. So whether you're taking blood thinners or cholesterol medication or SSRIs or opioid-based painkillers, ADD, ADHD, insulin, even syringes full of vaccines and deadly flu shots, does it really take someone with a medical degree to sling all these things out? After all, anyone could administer a mercury-loaded flu. You can get these flu shots now at anywhere. We were watching the Grammys the other night, and during the Grammys, all of a sudden, advertising, they sent out a bunch of nurses into the audience to everybody get your flu shot, and they just ran around and gave people the flu shot right there on television. So it was really, I thought it was insane, a great advertising gimmick. But if you have got pain or anguish, just put your dollars in a pharma vending MD's pocket and push the panic button, and you will go get. Now, if you want more information on this, you can go to bigpharmanews.com. And that's a website that specifically deals with Big Pharma. So it's called bigpharmanews.com. What I'd like to actually talk about is right now is the beginning of the American Medical Association, because I believe it was built on racketeering and the pocketing profits. And the year was 1847, and physicians in America were not enjoying good salaries and because they were having to compete with inexpensive natural remedies from Indians practicing American Indian medicine, and they were having to deal with natural doctors, herbalists, midwives, and all of these medicines that they were giving were very easily obtainable. They were also very effective. They'd been used for hundreds and hundreds of years. They were not very profitable, nor were they patentable, but they were cutting into the new practice of medical. So the physicians got together and they formed an alliance called the AMA, or the American Medical Association. And only the regulars, the regular doctors, were allowed to join this new prestigious organization, which strictly excluded herbalists, natural healers, homeopaths, American Indian herbalists, and the naturopaths at the time. And the new bylaws were enacted, and they would ensure that any physician caught dealing with non-regular physicians would be cast out, and their reputation would be ruined. There was only one problem, and it was a huge problem. Conventional medicine in the America was based on a philosophy, not on science, because nothing had been tested. We knew this as a cold, hard fact today. All of the research, all of the studies, when you go back, all of these new medications were coming out of the oil industry, and the pharmaceuticals, they wanted to sell these prescription drugs. They came up with the idea that it had to be prescription only, and only the white-coated MDs that were allowed into the AMA were allowed to write these prescriptions, for obviously they were told to be very tested and the latest in medicine. And it was no different than at the time, conventional medicine was nothing more than bloodletting and mercury poisoning and other methodology that we laugh at today. Well, word started getting out, and doctors from Europe who visited and then returned back home to Europe told others of the ill health of the average American, whose skin was sallow and eyes were sunken and their teeth and jaws crooked. And lo and behold, these are all the symptoms of mercury poisoning. And mercury was called quacksilver. And what happened is that the mercury drugs at the time were considered quackery. And those were the poisons that were given out by the pharmaceutical industry. And so the whole idea of quackery originally came from the mercury-laden pharmaceutical industry. And that's why it's still in vaccines and flu shots, because they can get away with it, and they've been using it for hundreds of years. Well, what happened is you come forward now, again in the late 1800s, all of these drugs were prescription only, and only the AMA white-coated doctors could write those. But in the year 1905, Collier's Magazine published an expose on the patentable remedy industry, or the pharmaceutical industry. In a series of articles called The Great American Fraud, but by then it was too late to stop the tsunami of criminal conspiracy that was crashing in on the natural medicines. The AMA had created the Department of Investigation, and they hunted down any doctors still using natural remedies. And the department's sole job was to shut down any other of these healers who could threaten the AMA profits. So the AMA's thug department, the Department of Investigation, actually kept files on anyone who was cured of cancer. They also kept files on health foods, vitamins, acupuncture, faith healing. They even kept it on Scientology. And the head of the AMA was Morris Fishbine. And he was a criminal and extortionist back in 1910. And if you did not pay him large sums of money for the AMA seal of acceptance, you simply could not survive in the medical field. Fishbine was the ultimate scam artist for the AMA. And the AMA never even had any facilities to test any of the drugs which they put their seal of approval on. Well, when you jump forward to 2001, three state medical societies joined together with only 75,000 members, and they sued the nation's largest health insurers. 12 different health plans and their so-called managed care authorities were violating federal racketeering laws. 20 individual doctors from 7 states accused managed care companies of denying medical necessity treatments, systematically delaying payments, and bundling claims. And bundling means they were making piles of claims they didn't want to pay and denying them without review just to keep the money. Well, the end result is the HMO insurers, the managed care practices, had violated the Federal Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations Act. the HMOs automatically downcoded and bundled claims. And they even had software which had protocols set by the American Medical Association well in advance. This enabled the mass manipulation of reimbursements. Well, the AMA was found guilty of racketeering three different times. And so that, there's what's called the repeat offender. Three strikes and you're out. The American people, for the most part, are so oblivious to the medical corruption that even when the big cats do get busted red-handed for quackery and racketeering, they still go right back to the same doctors. So the AMA is a nonprofit agency which gladly accepted huge sums of advertising fees from tobacco companies who advertised heavily in the Journal of the American Medical Association through the 20th century. After scientific proof came in about the dangers of smoking and the development of lung cancer, the AMA still ran ads that quoted doctors talking about smoking their favorite brands of cigarettes and claiming that Camels were good for digestion. The AMA also paid salaries and expenses for a team of medical doctors and lawyers to covertly destroy the entire chiropractic profession in the United States. And this is not some conspiracy theory or accusation. In 1990, the chiropractors won a landmark antitrust lawsuit where the court ruled that the AMA had violated the Sherman Antitrust Act. And in 1998, an article in the New York Times, the AMA paid Sunbeam Corporation nearly $10 million to avoid a breach of contract tile. And I don't need to go through that whole thing. But what they did do was that they buried natural remedies, and that's a big business. Cancer attacks every other man and woman and every third woman in the United States. There is a 50% survival rate, and you need a plan. Who are you going to trust if you get cancer? Would you trust this huge pharmaceutical company that run Western medicine? And these are the Nazi scientists who invented chemotherapy. It came from mustard gas. Or would you trust cancer patients who were at stage 4 or 5 on their deathbeds and were healed by herbal therapy or from naturopathy and who swore that the treatments were natural and that they cured their cancer? Okay, well, what happens when those doctors are found out? The entire industry of the AMA goes after those doctors. So nothing has changed. The National Cancer Institutes, they are again, in the pockets of Big Pharma and in the AMA. And the infamous AMA seal of approval is exactly the same situation that we have today with the FDA, where the FDA gives a seal of approval to pharmaceutical drugs, and they're supposedly tested for safety. So for those inclined to place their trust in the AMA, just take a look at the association's history. And these articles that I've been talking about are on my website. And what's the whole moral of the story? Since before World War II, Americans have been falsely reaffirmed by the FDA, AMA, National Cancer Institute, that conventional medicine is based on science and that all of this natural medicine is a big lie. So I tell you that it's not true. I'm going to suggest that you seek out natural remedies and that you seek out those that will help you in lifestyle changes. And that's the most important thing that you can do. Not reach for the drug system When you go to a traditional AMA doctor, you're going there and saying, doctor, I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to change what I'm eating. I don't want to take vitamins or I don't want to do exercise. Just give me a pill for my symptoms. When you go to any herbalist or natural doctor in the country, the first thing you know you're going to have to do is change your lifestyle, change your diet, change how you relate to your entire life.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back. Welcome back. And thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio.
The question I have for you is that my grandson is 7 years old, and he seems to be suffering from a lot of headaches and stomach aches. And they're saying that it might be linked to his tonsils might be need to be removed. I was wondering, is there a natural way of being able to maybe take care of the headaches and the stomach?
Absolutely. First thing what we would do is change his diet dramatically. Think of it. Almost all headaches have a precursor or a trigger, and the basic triggers that all humans use are the foods that they put into their mouth. And the second thing that tells us that is that he's having digestive problems. And it's not because he's deficient in Prilosec or in Pepcid or anything like that. Basically, what that means is he's either eating a food specifically that he's sensitive to or allergic to, or he's eating a combination of foods that he's sensitive to or allergic to. So the first thing that we do is we take people off the foods that are the most reactive. So I would take him off all of the general junk food, and that would be number one. And it's sometimes difficult on a seven-year-old because they want to eat what they want to eat, and parents don't want to, be bothered because it's very difficult to get kids to eat. But again, there are ways of overcoming that, and sometimes letting them go without food for a day or so. Fasting is very appropriate. And again, you wouldn't necessarily scold your child for not eating something, but what you would do is say, oh, you're obviously not really hungry, because when you're really hungry, your brain will tell you to eat healthy food. If you only want to eat your cheese and crackers, then you're not really hungry. So I'll save this vegetable soup for you until your brain says you're hungry. And that might take 1 or 2 days, but sometimes even as long as 3 days. But there's no problem. Fasting has been done for 1,000+ years. The only thing is that you got to be careful doing that, because nowadays you'd be considered child abuse. So a lot of times, you know, here, just give the kid Hush Puppies or Trigger McNuggets or, Big Macs and things like that. So one of the things that I would do is get doTERRA makes a combination called Digestin, and you can rub that on his stomach, and you can even put a couple of drops either in a capsule or just put a couple drops on the tongue. It actually tastes pretty good. And one of the base formulas in that is anise and or a licorice-type flavor, and I think it's very good. You rub that on their stomach. So sometimes what we do is we add digestive enzymes, but we certainly would add probiotics. And we now know that probiotics can really control behavior, and it can also control is really happening on a digestive level. So it really is important to watch what you're eating. So as an example, sometimes when you're having sensitive digestion, what happens when you mix certain foods together? As an example, a hamburger. When you bite into a hamburger, it's going to have bread and meat. And now breads digest in one way, or all grains digest one way. They stay a short time in your stomach, and it's not a real acid environment. It becomes less of an acid, say, compared to protein. Then it wants to move through where digestion continues in the small intestine, where animal product, chicken, fish, beef, that needs a very strong acid, and it sits in your stomach for a long time. So when you bite into a hamburger, your brain and your taste buds are going, carbohydrate, no, protein, no, carbohydrate, no, protein. So you don't digest the carbohydrate properly, and you don't digest the protein properly. And so that combination can cause a reaction with so many people. So that means eating chicken and rice, or meat and potatoes, or any kind of bread with meat, hamburger, hot dog. And that can cause a reaction with so many people. So that's another thing. A typical, as an example, think of how many people go, here, let's have some watermelon. And they go, oh, no, I can't eat watermelon. It makes me bloated. And then you go, well, when do you eat it? You know, well, I eat it for dessert. And now think of it. A watermelon takes about 20 minutes to digest. And when do people eat it? They eat it for dessert at the picnic. What did they have? Hot dogs, hamburgers, baked beans, potato salad, potato chips, and everything else. Then they eat the watermelon that's going to sit in their stomach, and it's going to ferment, because what will any warm, sugary liquid do in a dark space? It's going to ferment, and so that's going to cause a reaction. What you really want to do is eat the melon first, wait a half an hour, and then eat your meal. But in the United States, it's done backwards. So changing your diet, it really becomes important. There's some good books. Dr. John Christopher, one of my mentors, wrote a number of books. You can look online. Dr. John Christopher, he wrote a whole book on childhood diseases and nutrition. Bernard Jensen, one of my mentors, taught a lot about diet, nutrition. Again, you can look up online on Google and look up Dr. Bernard Jensen. Dr. Okay. Pavlo Arola, they all talk about nutrition and how important nutrition is for children. These are some of the things. If he changes his diet, then the headaches and the stomach aches will go away. And oftentimes, that's the way you get them to change. You tell them that, look, I talked to the doctor, and he said that these things might be causing your headaches. What's more important to you, to get rid of the headaches or to eat the junk food? And they'll often tell you, oh, I want to get rid of my headache, or I want to get rid of my stomach ache. So then that's when they'll change their diet. And so when the kid sits down with me, even 5, 7 years old, I make sure that I talk to them as a person and let them make those choices. And they'll almost always choose to be out of pain. So, and then once they're doing well, you let them have one day a week where they eat whatever they want. And all of a sudden on that day, they don't feel good again. And they're going to put their own understanding together that when they eat these foods, they don't feel well. So this is what you can do, and I think that'll make a big difference. And there you go.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I appreciate it. It's he, you know, my son and his wife are vegetarians, so for the most part, you know, they stay on a very healthy diet. But he occasionally, you know, at school or whatever else, he'll eat the fast food.
And that's when he doesn't feel well. Right, because the school systems are notorious to feed junk garbage to children. They attempt to make up the budgets of the school on serving the cheapest food they can buy. Same thing within hospitals. Hospitals buy the cheapest food they can buy so they can make up the budget shortfalls. And you would think that in schools and in hospitals that they would serve the healthiest foods that are, you know, possible for their clients, whether it's a student or mm-hmm. someone that's in the hospital. And yes, that's exactly the opposite. So that's when they actually begin to connect themselves that eating these junk foods cause them not to feel well, and then they'll actually change their mind and say, no, I don't want to eat that way.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. This next article is the true history of cancer in the United States. And you don't have to go back very far. Actually, it's only a little over of a century to find out when cancer was bred in the United States as a form of income for the tyrants of the medical industry. Forget about conspiracy theories. Let's talk facts, facts alone. And in fact, a whole barrage of them that reveal a dirty path of corruption and planning. On the last article, I talked about the beginning of the AMA in 1847 to go after the natural healers, the midwives, the Indian, American Indian healers, and the naturopaths at the time. And what they did is they created the AMA, and only doctors that were giving the approval were allowed to join. And then in the late 1800s, they started with the 1905, actually, with the Department of Investigation to hunt down doctors who were using these natural remedies, and they wanted to shut them down. And this would ensure the rise of the AMA profits. At that same time, the pharmaceutical industry started coming out with these patentable drugs. Well, once they were patented, they needed a sales team to be able to market these drugs, and they allowed only the prescribed AMA physicians that the AMA said were okay, and they were the ones allowed to prescribe these patented medicines. And it was at that time that they started to go after all of the natural colleges, and there were 100 natural colleges in the United States, naturopathic colleges, and iridology, herbalism, even someone like Harvey Kellogg, who had his sanatorium back in the early 1900s. So anyway, the AMA started to go after all of these colleges, and any college that didn't prescribe scientific medicine with the understanding of using universities that had the seal of acceptance were able to continue. And so within the next 10 to 15 years, over 100 colleges were shut down, because what they did is they used their foundations and they took away the funding for any college that practiced natural medicine and only gave funding for those colleges doing research on these new prescription medications. So it was a huge scam, and none of the medical doctors in America were kind of privy to it. At the same time, all nutrition education was covertly removed from the medical colleges, and chemical drugs were the only legal medicine. So preventable diseases were just including Alzheimer's and diabetes and heart disease and arthritis and most cancers before the 1900s were all cured or unheard of, mostly because of the use of natural medications. Well, the infamous AMA we know of today started it all, and they're still working hard to perpetuate the nightmare. They're saying that only these pharmaceutical drugs are can really what works. So what exactly is cancer? cancers in uncontrolled division, multiplication, and spread of mutated and warped cells that attacked healthy cells and organs. And most cancer stems from the consumption of garbage chemicals that cause an acidic body to be deprived of oxygen and to be deprived of nutrients. Though cancer was not literally created in the United States, the toxic food industry was, and the toxic drug industry was, and by promoting these toxic foods, think of it, Tricks are for kids and Cocoa Puffs and Big Macs and tacos. And these are all the foods that, and I don't mean healthy tacos that you used to get in Mexico. I'm talking garbage stuff that's at all of these fast food restaurants, where what we see today is one of every three Americans get cancer in their lifetime, and half of these unfortunates are terminated. Well, let me give you the timeline of how cancer occurred in the United States. In the 1900s, most cancers were very, very rare. Only about 90 people out of every 100,000 people are diagnosed with cancer. In 1905, the AMA began suppressing the known cancer cures for ailments of all sorts, and especially from for cancer, and they removed nutritional education from medical colleges' curriculum, and they closed down the natural colleges. By 1930, any scientist and physician who discovered a cure for cancer found their labs either destroyed or the materials confiscated. Then they're arrested, silenced, or they were murdered. And this is still happening today, by the way. And you can go back and read some of the death by medicine and the history of the American Medical Association and some of these other books that I've mentioned. And you can find out what was going on. In the 1930s, the FDA, the AMA, and the CDC were suppressing and denying natural cures and prevention strategies for cancer. And the CDC and the FDA were using their government industry to go after any doctor or any person that said that these natural medicines actually cured anything. And that's why today you'll find that the natural doctors, naturopaths, homeopaths have to be very careful of the language that they use because they can be arrested. Now, an MD can say, you know, that we're going to write these prescriptions for you, even though these prescriptions have never been double-blind studied to see do they really cure disease or not. And again, in the 1930s, microbiologist Dr. Royal Rife proves that if microbes inside cancer cells were killed, the cells can revert back to normal cells and they can kill cancer. And in 1931, doctors from around the country joined Dr. Raymond Royal Rife, who invented the first high-powered microscope that could actually directly observe bacteria and viruses. And he actually isolated a filterable virus of cancers and succeeded in destroying the typhus bacteria, not to mention he also destroyed the herpes virus and even strains of polio. And this was in 1931. By 1937, the AMA went after Dr. Royal Rife because they tried to buy his patentable medicines, and Royal Rife said, no, I'm not selling them to you. So then what the AMA did is they went after Royal Rife for fraudulent medical practices to take his license away. By 1938, the AMA were visiting all doctors who supported Dr. Royal Rife and those who were using his instruments and his inventions and also his natural medicines, and they warned them that if they continued to use them, they will lose their medical license. In 1939, the AMA and the FDA destroyed Dr. Royal Rife's laboratory, and attempted to destroy all of his research, including his academic committee records that he had done research on cancer cures. And those cancer cures research were originally set up by the AMA, and he had a 100% cure rate among some of the most advanced cancers. So in 1939, the AMA literally pays cancer researcher Dr. Arthur Kendall over $250,000, that would be about a $5 million today, to stop working on cancer in the United States and to retire in Mexico, where they got him some land, and he lived there. So by 1944, Dr. Kendall died of mysterious unknown causes. And in the 1940s, lung cancer is scientifically discovered to be caused by smoking cigarettes. Yet the AMA and 20,000 doctors still endorsed cigarettes as healthy and good for you for another 30 years. In 1945, the auspices beginning the auspicious beginning of water fluoridation begins in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just as World War II ends. Hitler had previously used fluoridation, the same type of fluoride in the drinking water. He used them in concentration camps to weaken and keep the Jews from rebelling them because it causes brain changes and causes apathy. In 1950, post-World War II, food factories and plants began processing American foods in cans, adding cancer-causing chemicals and additives and preservatives. In 1955, Dr. Jonas Salk removes kidneys from rhesus monkeys, injects them with three different strains of polio, incubates them to stimulate the growth of the virus. Then he dilutes the combination of strains with formaldehyde to weaken the virus, and then he injects it into live monkey mice and rabbits and claims, along with the CDC, this new miracle vaccine of the century. And it had been discovered that it's safe and potent and effective. Well, fake polio vaccine cure is shipped in vials all over the world, and the false herd theory was invented. Polio disappeared not because of the vaccine, but because of hygiene and because of hardware stores that started coming on every corner in every city. You also had laws everywhere that mandated...
90 seconds.
Okay, so let me see if I can continue. 1963. Well, I'm going and I'm not going to be able to finish it. President Nixon declared the fake war of cancer. And anyway... The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning, Natural Solutions Radio, with me, Eliezer Ben-Joseph. And today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.